If you have a bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, we'll see some notes that we'll be walking through. Great to see you on this bright and sunny and even a little bit rainy a while ago, if you happen to catch that, Sunday morning. I like what my buddy Paul Strout says. He's gone to the band room and got his stand for this morning. So here's my stand from the band room, and we're going to share God's word. I don't know if you ever, when you go to an event, what you're thinking about at that event. We were out at Frontier Days, and we saw one of the rodeos. We were at two different parades, saw two concerts, and each of those concerts had two different groups. So you could actually say we saw four concerts. First night was Clint Black and Rascal Flatts. The kids were honored to be able to be part of the military represented, which meant they got to go early for a meet and greet. We got to tag along, look somewhat official. I didn't say anything. You know, it's just like you kind of walk around like you know what you're doing and just follow because you got a little pass that you can do the meet and greet and backstage and the catered meal and just kind of go anywhere you want to in the venue. The second night we were there, it was Tanya Tucker, who was 60-something, trying to look 20-something. And as the guy on Last Man Standing says, Chuck says on Last Man Standing, not cool. It was not cool, but she still has a voice. Then Josh Turner, phenomenal. If Josh Turner is anywhere within like 120 or so miles of this place, you need to see Josh Turner in concert. Right in the middle of the concert, he pulled out three songs from his Christian CD entitled, I Have a Savior. It was phenomenal. This guy has a testimony, and he's got a book about being a good Christian father, husband, powerful stuff. The thing I wonder about, when you go to these events, I don't know what you do at the events. You have different people in the group. You have the people that are there just to kind of take it in, which you probably shouldn't go to Frontier Days if you're just there to take it in, okay? Because you're going to have these other people at the event. You're going to have the people that are going to be the people that are there for the party, you know? And they may not even remember half of what happened that night. You're going to have the people that are waiting for their song to be played. And so when their song is played, they're going to be up clapping and waving and just doing all kinds of great and fun stuff and shouting and hooting and hollering. We had a couple girls like that at the Rascal Flatts concert near us, and behind us was one of these ladies that was part of the We're Just Here to Watch crowd. So she, in a very kind yet weird way, asked these girls, would you mind sitting down? We're trying to watch the concert. I thought, is that lady stupid or what? You know, because I was so tempted to stand up and start doing it myself, you know, but I would only be doing it out of spite. And so Christian character took over at that moment, and the girls moved down a row and just kept going crazy. I'm the guy, and this, I don't know if this is your, I'm the guy at the event. I love the event. I love the music. I'm watching. I'm just watching everything. I'm listening for the music. I'm watching the musicians, the band, and seeing what they do. I'm checking out the lights and the sound and the smoke and all the different moving pieces that are taking place. I watch how one band moves their stuff out of the way so the other band can move their stuff in, doing sound checks. All those things just amaze me, all the moving pieces to make it happen, whether it's a concert or the rodeo. My goodness, rodeos aren't as simple as they used to be. It used to be open the chute, the bull jumps, and the announcer says he got a score of this. Now it's, I mean, you've got to have so many people doing all, and it's always had a lot of people involved, but now you've got giving announcements during the rodeo, and it's not just somebody says, hey, go down and sponsor your local Wrangler dealer, and they've got a, you know, deal on Wrangler jeans. It's like a horse runs by, and they're carrying a flag with the Wrangler emblem on it, you know? And they've got all kinds of other activities going on during the rodeo. I hope that when it comes to what we do on Sunday morning, that it does not become all those pieces having to come together. And we start thinking about it in terms of the lighting and the temperature and the pastor or a Sunday school teacher or something that was said or something that wasn't said in class or the music and the special and all the... That we don't just go, I think of it like this. I think of it like the guy that has the old antique car that opens up the garage door once every week or a couple weeks or so, takes the car, the cover off the car, drives the car around for a couple hours, then comes home and makes sure there are no bugs or bird stuff on the car and covers it up and shuts the garage door. That's not what church is. It's not us just saying, hey, we're going to go check it out today, see what happens. We're just going to go for a Sunday drive to church and see if anything happens. And if we go home and it's all been good, oh, good. We'll just kind of put a little polish on that thing and cover it up till next week. That scares me about church. I never want it just to be that stuff. That stuff. The music, the teaching, the atmosphere, the lighting, the sound. We're talking about, and I love it, I'm so appreciative for Erica and the rest of the gang here that got me this sign. We're all about this year. Better together. And this morning I want to give you something that we're starting a new study, if you will, that helps us, I pray, to kick it up a notch from just that concept of better together. We're always going to live in that. In fact, I had that Janie found a bunch of these laying around. She goes, what do you want me to do with those? I said, save every one of them. You've already got several. I know. I want them in my casket. You're not going to have a casket. You're right. Okay. I just want them around. Okay. She's got plans. I've got plans. All right. But I just love this quote. We're all better together. We need people in our lives to connect with, to be supported by, to encourage, to hold each other accountable. That's what this is about. This morning, I want to take it up a notch as we enter into a study, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago. And by the way, thanks to Rick Kaufman for covering and bringing the word last week. I heard it was awesome. We're talking about taking it up a notch and considering the Holy Spirit. Again, we talked about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago, Colossians chapter 3. I have a study. I found this about a month or so ago. I've been diving into it. Basically, I have it read cover to cover. But it's a book by Francis Chan entitled The Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. I want us to look through this. We're going to be looking through Scripture, but if you'd like to find some of the notes and some of the quotes. You get this on Amazon, probably $8 or $10. Have it here by next week. You can get that. But it's this concept that, to me, it takes us from the point of all the pieces coming together, whether it be a rodeo or a concert or a parade or a church service. It takes us from that place to the place we really need to be, and that is the invitation, the embracing, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The presence of the Holy Spirit. It's an encounter that should take place. It's the thing. The Holy Spirit was the one who launched the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who propels the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who continues to make the church relevant. Amen. When I hear that, and I get articles all the time about what this way to do church and that way to do church, planting churches, growing churches, allowing churches to be put to sleep, and all these things that are going on with churches, and in the midst of that, to me, this thought comes up: is the Holy Spirit relevant? See, my prayer is this, is that a shift will take place, that we move, and this is where Francis Chan's quote comes in, that we move from being self-focused consumers to self-sacrificing servants. I don't have that in your notes, but you may want to write that down. From being self-focused consumers to self-sacrificing servants who are tuned into the Holy Spirit. That is huge. Because we are that consumer society. That's what propels our economy. You know that, don't you? How many widgets they're going to sell? How many cups of coffee? I was blown away by the fact that my Starbucks stock Friday alone went up like $8 a share. I'm like, hoo-hoo. I made $400 without blinking on Friday. Hoo-hoo. That's how, you know, next week I could lose it all. Who cares? It's this idea of our society is driven by the consumer mindset. Right. And we're always making those judgment calls. I like this. I don't like that. I want more of that. I never want to touch that again. But the Holy Spirit comes along, and I love what Francis Chan says here. He says, if the Holy Spirit moves in the life of the church, if the Holy Spirit moves, nothing can stop him. Yeah, can we read that sentence together? If the Holy Spirit moves, nothing can stop him. Wow. And on he says, if he doesn't move, we will not produce genuine fruit, no matter how much money or effort we expend. What if we look at the Holy Spirit being as essential to our lives, not just as a church, but as individuals, as essential to our lives as breathing, our heartbeat? It was the Holy Spirit who led the early believers in Acts moving forward to do the unexplainable. They got called out right away in chapter 2, didn't they? It's how they spread God's story around the world. What if in the midst of our hashtag better together gathering, that there was something that the Holy Spirit did? If we allowed, and this is the key, folks, if we allowed the Holy Spirit to empower us. I'm not talking about a balance of the Holy Spirit, you know? A little bit of Holy Spirit, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No, it's the Holy Spirit empowering us. I don't know if I've ever met a person, and maybe you can tell me about that person, who I looked at him and said, nah, they just got too much of the Holy Spirit. They got too much, too much. I don't see that. I don't even know if it's possible. See, the problem is we're holding back, or actually we're holding on to our stuff. And we're holding on to our mindset and our attitudes and our preconceived ideas of the church and our lives and what we do and how we act in our lives. And we have all that stuff and we don't allow the Holy Spirit space. I liked about a month and a half ago, we were at a district camp meeting and Dr. Warwick talked like the first night about allowing the Holy Spirit to have space to move in your life. Are you giving him space? See, our lives are so cluttered with everything else. People say, I'm just too busy for this God thing. Too busy to go to church. I got this. Well, then you're too busy. Right. You know? Yeah. There was a book written years ago, Too Busy Not to Pray. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to pray. Got to be allowing the Spirit to work. Our problem, again, holding back or holding on, not giving ourselves fully. Here's the deal. Notice the blanks. You can start filling these out, okay? The situation is this. What is he doing right now? Rather than what he did in the past. What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life today? Not yesterday. We prayed it a while ago. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You ever found bread that's moldy? It used to be more of a deal than it is now. There's so many preservatives in bread now. I don't know if it can mold, you know? I mean, there's just so many chemicals and preservatives in store-bought bread. But, you know, bread that goes, homemade bread, if you don't refrigerate or take it, it's moldy pretty quick. So the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. It's this idea that he needs to be relevant and real today in my life right now, right this minute. Amen. Not what he did in the past. Let me give you a couple scriptures. I love how Paul approached his presentation of the gospel. Notice what he says over in our scripture we're going to show you here in Corinthians. The key is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to write down the references, I don't think I list. Yeah, I did list those. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 4. Let me read these to you. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You ever listen to me and say, man, he's an awesome preacher. She's an awesome preacher. He's an anointed leader. He's an anointed this. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the other reference as well. He says this, for the kingdom of God is not a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Boy, we can talk, can't we? You could spend the rest of your life just trying to catch up on all the podcasts, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of podcasts that are out there of people that just talk. I was listening to a wonderful worship song this morning, just had it up, and we're going to close the sermon a little bit with it. And I was listening to the worship song, I said, oh, that's such a great worship song. I just had my phone in my pocket, walking around, doing some prep stuff here, just worshiping. And right after that came this other, because YouTube just, you know, back to back. All of a sudden, this guy's talking about all these superfoods. Oh, if you're a vegan, if you're a vegetarian, here's 11 superfoods you need to have. And he lists all the, I never heard of 9 of the 11. I recognize beets and one other thing. And as he goes along, I'm like, should I change it? I'm kind of intrigued. But there's a lot of talking, and that's not the talk. It's the presence of the Spirit at work. Let me just give you this. I thought it was so good. I wanted to get this out of the book and give it to you. The next slide talks about the difference. There are two words you see here in your outline, exegesis and eisegesis. I share this with you because one of the first things I learned in college, preparing for the ministry, exegesis. And that's what, as we do this study on the Holy Spirit, we're going to go to the scripture and we're going to draw out the teachings and the principles that help us understand the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, exegesis means I'm going to the scripture first and it's drawn out of what the scripture tells me. Eisegesis is where we take the scripture after we've already decided something and we're going to prove it's right. Eisegesis means I take a meaning to the scripture. You know, I heard it said one time that you should worship on this day. So they go and grab a scripture that may say something about that. Or I found out that you should do this or not do that. And they grab they take that thought, that opinion, and they impose it on scripture. You see that happening sometimes? Sunday school teachers, home group leaders, pastors. But what we're looking at here is how we can pull it out of the scripture. Now, I want us to ask this question, why do I need the Holy Spirit? I don't want to just assume that we just get it. Well, the first thing is, we need the Holy Spirit because we assume what we believe is right. I had a friend of mine was telling me about one of his daughters was ministering to a lady in her community or her circle of friends who had come out of Scientology. And she was sharing her faith and talking to her, asking her if she ever read the Bible. She said, no, I wouldn't read the Bible. Well, what do you believe? And she started reeling off these things. And she says, well, can you tell me why you believe this, that, and the other? She goes, I don't know. I was just told. She said, would it be okay if I gave you a Bible and you kind of read the Bible? And she said, sure, give me a Bible. No problem. She's a Scientologist, like a lot of other religions, like to read and study, and although it's not scripture. She started reading and she came back to this girl and she goes, you know what happens? This is a bad story. She started her in Matthew. She said, what do you mean it's a bad story? The main character dies. She was all upset. And she said, did you read the whole book of Matthew? Well, no, I haven't finished it yet. We'll get through chapter 28 and we'll talk. It gets better. But I need to warn you, in Mark and Luke and John, it happens again. But it's all the same account of one person and what he's done for us. See, we have these ideas that come along our lives and you just don't do that. Why do we not? Just because you don't do that. Well, can you tell me why we don't? What does it have to do? We need the Spirit because the Spirit's going to help us. The Spirit's going to help us in this situation. The culture gets in the way of the Word. Let me say that again. The culture can get in the way of the Word. The second reason, Jesus tells us we need a counselor. We need a counselor that can help us understand what the Word is telling us. John 14, 16. I don't think I gave this to Fritz, by the way, who does an amazing job with our PowerPoint. The reference, I want to just give you this reference, John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. That is powerful. The word advocate, and that's the same word as counselor. In some translations, it translates as advocate or counselor or teacher or guide. The original word, and you've probably heard other preachers use the word, parakletos or paraklete. What does that mean in the Greek? It means somebody who is an advocate, somebody who is a comforter, somebody who is a consoler. I see a lot of people out here in society that need consoling. The Holy Spirit can help console you. One translation says He is summoned and He's called to one's aid, the Holy Spirit. It says here the Holy Spirit is the one who pleads the cause before a judge. He's the counsel for the defense. He's a legal assistant. He's an advocate. Every time these guys get arrested on Blue Bloods, one of the first, I want to talk to my lawyer. You ever see those crime shows? That's like the first thing. I want to talk to my lawyer. Well, let me just tell you, we've got an amazing counselor who's available. He's called the Holy Spirit. He pleads our cause. He pleads our cause in life and He pleads our cause in heaven. He's our intercessor. He's our assistant. He's our aider. And another scripture about this idea of the Holy Spirit being our comforter, our guide in John is this thing in John, or sorry, Acts 1, 4 and 5. Jesus says when He was eating with him, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This counselor. And the word baptize, some people look at that and say, well, you need to understand the word baptize comes from the original language, which means to dip. And that's true. Baptism, if you can do it, I suggest you get dipped head to toe. And because to me, it's that symbolism of dying with Jesus, being raised with Jesus. And the water, as it washes, not physically, but symbolically, is washing that sin. Symbolically taking place. Another translation is, in this idea of being baptized, is to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I like that. See, the thing is the anointing. God wants to bring the anointing. He wants to overwhelm you and me with His Holy Spirit. But the thing is, we're just kind of sampling as we go through life. Life is like that buffet. Life is like going down McGalliard and say, do we eat today at the Hardee's that's open? Do we go to Burger King? Do we go to Chick-fil-A not on Sunday? Do we go, what do we do for eating? You know, and we just kind of look at that pick and choose. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to overwhelm us with Himself. And when we get sidetracked with other things, the Holy Spirit can't anoint us. We miss the anointing. they're little tip-off phrases of missing the anointing. Well, I know about what you're saying, but I don't know if I agree or not. Which means I don't agree, you know? Or we kind of kick into the whining mode. That's a big one. But here's the deal. This is my concern. The Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us we need him because we need his power. We need his presence. We need him as a counselor. Yeah. The question I have under those little blanks there is, can people tell the difference? Can people tell the difference that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life? Do people recognize the Holy Spirit at work in our lives? That's a big one. Look at the scripture. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. Last time, you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. See, there's a difference between your life and the life of someone who's not a follower of Jesus. It's just that blank, that apparent, just that obvious. Let's look at another scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've listed this one on the slide as well. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You can't be that self-actualizing, self-fulfilling, self-seeking person who wants all the stuff in life. Guess what? You were bought with a price. And we're living in a whole different realm because the Spirit is controlling my life. So how do you know the Spirit's controlling your life? Well, it lines up with Scripture. It lines up with the teachings of Jesus. It lines up with the Sermon on the Mount. It lines up with all the teachings of Paul as he writes to the different churches throughout the known world. It just lines up. Question, when was the last time I undeniably saw the Spirit at work in my life? When was the last time? One more scripture, James 3:11. I kind of got ahead of myself. James 3:11, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? The Spirit at work in my life, that's what's going to bubble out of my life. Well, Pastor, you need to understand, I got some issues. Well, you got issues, I got issues, all God's chilling got issues. All right, can we just lay that all out there? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. To get over ourselves. When was the last time I undeniably saw the Spirit at work in or around me? See, I'm at the point where I don't believe we need more teaching. There's really nothing, week after week, we've been here 21 and almost a half years, there's really nothing new I could get up and say, well, I've never heard that or thought about that before. Most of what I tell you, I've said before, or you've heard before. So I don't know that we need more, I don't believe we need more teaching. What I believe is we need more obedience. And what I believe is we need more submersion to be submersed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Consider the caterpillar. I like Chan brings up that illustration. I had so much fun, beyond and separate from the book, studying about the caterpillar. You understand the caterpillar goes through a complete metamorphosis. When Jesus talks about, or no, sorry, Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, old has passed away, all things are new. Jesus teaches, Paul follows, and he teaches that there needs to be a complete metamorphosis in your life. A complete metamorphosis. Now, there are some creatures that just do like a partial metamorphosis, and we'll point them out later on. But the caterpillar does, I love butterflies. You ever been to a wedding where they released butterflies? Oh, that's nice. I think it's a nice touch. Personally, I like the bubbles. I just kind of go crazy when I see bubbles. That's play with them with the grandkids, and I get more of a hoot out of it than they do. But yeah, bubbles. But from that Finding Nemo. But anyway, the caterpillar, this complete metamorphosis. It starts out as this young, like a larva. And it's going through this stage. These eggs are there. The adult butterfly has planted these eggs on these plants. And this larva goes and turns into a caterpillar. And the caterpillar, all it does is just eats. And it'll shed maybe 4 or 5 times. Grows to 100 times its original size. I've seen some big caterpillars in my life. I don't want to be a spiritual caterpillar, by the way. You know? I want to be a butterfly. I want to be a butterfly. A monarch butterfly egg is about the size of a pinhead. That's amazing. Amazing. But it will grow up to 2 inches long in several weeks. By the time it gets into that chrysalis and it's in that shape, the cocoon, where it's being changed and changed and changed, by the time it comes out as a beautiful butterfly, it has a whole different role in life. The adult butterfly's job is to mate and lay eggs. To mate and lay eggs. And they only do that for a couple of weeks. But I think about that in the life of a Christian. We're not called just to be that caterpillar that just eats and eats and eats and eats. We're called to be transformed. The metamorphosis, the complete metamorphosis, is what happens with the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, there are a couple other creatures called crickets and cockroaches. They only do a partial metamorphosis, okay? So I want to ask you a question. This is kind of a neat altar call question. Do you want to be a cricket, a cockroach, or do you want to be a butterfly? You know? That's the deal. That's the thing. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. And the goal is this, is not to just crawl through life. The goal is this, is to be transformed, he says, Paul in Romans 12, transformed by the renewing of your mind. This metamorphosis that takes place, I thought it was 40, but I just counted up. It's 41 years I've been following Jesus. And I pray to God I'm not the same person I was 41 years ago. I pray that there has been some level of transformation and metamorphosis, that there's more and more and more of Jesus happening in my life. Because I have been created and actually recreated to fly. And so have you. You have been recreated to fly. Stop crawling. And don't just be a cockroach or a cricket. Be a beautiful butterfly. A beautiful butterfly. The way that happens, and this is our altar call for this morning, the way that happens is to allow and ask and submit for the Holy Spirit to overwhelm our lives. I want you to stand with me this morning and listen to a song as Lori plays it. And it just, I want it to be your song. If you want to sing along, fine. If you just want to look at the words, fine. But just make this your testimony. I want to invite you while this song is playing, if you want to come and pray, to step out and come to the altar. And that's what it's going to take, folks, for us to make this transition from who we are to where we need to be, is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Jesus, speak to our hearts as we hear these words. Speak to our hearts, I pray, Jesus. Would you like to come and pray this morning? Is this your desire? Is it really your desire to see the Holy Spirit move? Change our hearts. It's time for hearts to be changed. That's the only way we're going to make it through this life, is a changed heart. You can sing along if you like. Holy Spirit, rain. You're invited to come and pray. Make it your prayer. Now we need you, Holy Spirit.
Oh, Comforter and Friend. How we need your touch again. We stand on your word, Holy Spirit. Rain down.
I tell you, folks, I don't have any answers, but I know God's word does. It's the Holy Spirit.
No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven.
church and over our lives.
As you're praying, just pray this. Just pray this. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us. It's you, Holy Spirit. It's you, Holy Spirit. We want to be that beautiful butterfly that brings honor and glory to your kingdom. There's enough cockroaches and crickets in the world. We don't need any more. But we need butterflies who are willing to allow the Spirit to flow through us and fill us. Jesus, may it be so. Rain down, Holy Spirit. Rain down, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Rain down. Praise God. Rain down.
Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit. Rain down. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit. Rain
Jesus, we know that there are so many things that happen around us, so many activities, so many events. And in the midst of those events, we can be the one that jumps and shouts and dances around and gets all excited. We can be the watcher. We can be the one who's trying to analyze how all the pieces come together. But Lord, in the midst of this event, may it be an encounter, Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, the one who you promised to come as our counselor, as our guide, as our teacher who would live inside us and remind us of everything that you've already taught us, that your Holy Spirit would have right away in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our conversations, in the places we go and the things that we watch and all the things that we do. Holy Spirit, move, we pray. Empower, overwhelm us. Meet with the needs around these altars today, Jesus. Meet with the needs in each pew, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rain down, we pray. Rain down, we pray. We want to pray especially for John this morning. John's going to be doing some fill-in, some temporary fill-in over at Oakville in a few weeks here, off and on for a while. And we just want to anoint John. Yes, we anoint him. And Jesus, this morning, as we put on this oil, we know this oil is symbolic of your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, this morning, we are just praying for our brother as he's taking time to do some interim work over at Oakville, that Jesus, you would speak through him those Sundays that he's there to minister. We're so thankful for his leadership of worship here. And now, Lord, as he's going to be just kind of doing a co-thing back and forth, Jesus, bless him, we pray. Anoint him, we pray. And Father, we pray for your kingdom, whether it be here or Oakville or any of the churches around us that lift up Jesus, that your Holy Spirit, your anointing would be on each preacher, each worship leader, each Sunday school teacher, and each person that walks through the doors. Yes. Move, Holy Spirit, we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.